Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Getting debriefed by Armin, our program director. And I don't think I'm actually going to go come out and see this, because he's telling me at 6:30 there's 45 people in line, that in 7 minutes the Broncos training camp 2018 t-shirts are passed out. And I think they're great. They're an orange shirt, says Training Camp 2018, and on the back it says Chub, Chub, Chub. I mean, come on. Thank yous to Brakes Plus. And tomorrow, 7 a.m., Highlands Ranch Shopping Center. I'm just going to tell you, based on today, if you want, I mean, they're free. We're just passing them out in a variety of sizes, but there's only one per person. So, from men's small to, I think, double XL and everywhere in between.
I'm in double XL.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Are you sure it's only double XL?
I ask that question everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And why do you only sell shoes to size 13?
Yeah, you know, that makes no sense. It's another logical question.
I'm just glad there's minimum sizes. To have shoes that are, you know, past size 13. I mean, that's a big bummer for guys who have a bigger foot than a size 13.
Yeah, you're just bragging again.
About?
Your shoe size.
It ain't bragging if you're just telling the truth.
So training camp. All right. Stop bragging if you're describing. So training camp. Let me get it right. Training camp 2018 Chub 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 t-shirts were a huge hit today. I got mine. Thank you very much. I like
the
material.
Were you there at 7 a.m.?
I was not.
Well, then, how did you get one and I didn't?
No, yours are in the back. Armin's got one for you.
Okay. Do those the kind of shirts that you end up doing a lot of lawn work in?
Ooh.
Or do you just wear them to training camp only?
I think you can wear them for the rest of your life.
I know, but t-shirts.
You can wear this in Canton when Chubb goes in. Bradley,
how do you look at t-shirts in general?
Well, we're doing a 15-year career, so we're going to go 2018 to 2033, 5 years after that. So I'd keep this for 2038 when he's going in.
2038, okay.
2038.
That is correct.
So right? Let me ask you, when you look at t-shirts, how do you look at them? Do you look at them as, you know, everyday types of dips, because today you're wearing a collared shirt, but sometimes you wear a t-shirt. How do you value a t-shirt? Is it something that you wear at home or out?
You know, t-shirts sometimes go with whatever theme you got going on. So if you're a Broncos fan, this is great, because there's so many Broncos.
But you don't get to wear your t-shirt
things.
At work.
Sure you do. On Fridays you do.
I thought Fridays were dressed casual. When is t-shirt casual?
That's like normal people who have normal jobs will wear
like a Bronco logo collared shirt.
I actually found out why Alfred does not have a shirt waiting for him.
No, I do
oh,
not.
He does not?
He does not,
oh.
Because he didn't respond to the email.
What email?
With the size that we needed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
I guess I don't have one.
Wow.
So there might be one in the box if you respond to that email.
My mother-in-law buys me t-shirts every Christmas. Every Christmas. And therefore, I have more t-shirts than any other man I know.
What are you rocking for a t-shirt size these days?
I like a double XL, and if I'm trying to, you know, really get it in, send Big Dad a triple XL.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I want it, you know, when I'm, you know, if I'm out in the street and I'm trying to hang out, I want a double XL. But a triple XL, oh, nothing better.
Comfortable.
Oh, just
R-E-L-A-X.
You're not thinking about too much right there.
No.
For that extra plate of ribs when you have that triple XL.
I mean,
XL
a triple XL,
right?
That triple XL, you know, you get the triple XL when you're the big fella.
Yeah.
When you're cutting the grass and you need the bottom of that shirt, you need the bottom of that shirt to wipe your forehead.
Yeah.
You need that triple XL to get out there and represent.
Who are you kidding? You don't mow your own lawn.
I used to.
In theory.
I mean, I mowed my lawn until 2 years ago.
Hey, who am I lying? I don't mow my own lawn either.
You took my lawn guy.
I did. But I told you I got a 3-prong approach.
Yeah.
Because I got lawn guy, sprinkler guy, and weed guy. That doesn't sound right, having a weed guy.
Who's your weed guy?
It's just Expira Green. They're just a company.
Oh, you mean a lawn care company.
I like legal weed. Yeah. That sound bad. What should I say? Grass, my grass guy. That's no better. Weed guy, grass guy.
I pass on grass.
Jeez, I'm kind of stuck here. All he does is look at my grass and take care of my weeds. Yeah, I don't know what to call him. Does magic, though.
How does your yard look?
It looks okay, because my idiot neighbor, I mean, I'm surrounded by idiot neighbors.
Do you have any neighbors that you like?
No.
I mean, every time you start talking about your neighbors, it's not complimentary.
I do have one neighbor that I like. He's like 3 doors down. He's a good dude.
Oh, my name is Luker.
Yeah, Luker.
I live on the second floor.
That's who I like, Luker.
Luka. He lives down street from me. I think you have seen him before.
He's one good dude. But
one good dude you work with.
You know, he doesn't come over the house or anything like that.
Well, how do you know he's a good guy? Have you ever been inside his house?
No, I have not, no.
How do you have neighbors and you never go inside their homes?
I don't want anything to do with going inside their homes.
Why?
Oh.
So when do you talk to this neighbor?
I just see him on the street. I wave at him. Hey, he's a good dude.
So how do you know he's a good guy?
I don't know. I've talked to him a couple times.
I mean, I've been reading some crazy stories about these people living in neighborhoods that have had some horrific. My wife have me watching this crime show. Like, what is the name of it? I'm like, well, they, you know, bust old criminals for doing stuff. You never know about your neighbors.
Hey, man, did I tell you? Oh, well, you were here for the fireworks.
You have to go in there and see if there's a foul smell in the house.
You should have seen I picked up the, right.
For your guy,
I'm just going to stay away with it. But by my one, of the several idiot neighbors that I have, this one is a trip because he's got a dog and he just lets his dog
go where he wants.
And we don't have a fence in between the front and the back lawns.
He just goes in your yard?
Yep. It's awful. 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 And my neighbor's yard looks terrible. And he's not taking care of it. And so I've got dead spots in my lawn because that's just where the dogs use it for his business. It's really awful. You know,
Did you talk to him about it?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Yeah. Not great.
How'd the conversation go?
Oh, I mean, like, my backyard was a minefield. And I was like, clean up your dog's crap, literally, in my yard.
And what did he say?
Okay, and blah, you know, I had all sorts of attitude with it, and just a jerk.
Why don't you just put a fence up, buddy?
Oh, I know. There's a story behind that, too. I'll tell you off the air that story.
It's just the guy that...
Trust me.
That broke down the fence.
Let me tell you, the neighbor that lived next to me before this guy was fastidious with his lawn. I mean, he was, like, I felt really guilty about the look of my lawn compared to his. He was unreal.
Really?
Oh, man. He was a...
A lot of care.
Like a sergeant in the army. I mean, he was...
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love those guys.
This dude was
You have a military neighbor...
He was a
neighbor.
Good guy. He made me feel bad because I wasn't nearly as good as he was with the upkeep.
Yeah, I have...
He'd be proud of me now.
I have a neighbor, GT man, who... I mean, his yard is the best looking yard. He's a military guy, retired military guy. Always edged up. Everything is trim.
Oh,
you know,
and he hasn't lived there for like 9 years, and he would be destroyed to see what the guy that bought his house has his yard looking like now. He would be destroyed.
Is this the first guy to buy it or the second guy?
It is the first.
So the first guy actually saw the yard the way that it was intended to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, we've lived next to this joker for a long time.
But you know his name?
Oh, yeah.
But you never have him over for coffee?
Oh, my God, no. I won't even talk to him.
You never have him over for after dinner
cocktail? Dude, this is the guy that took down the fence in the backyard to make it a thoroughfare.
He's a jerk.
Does he know what you do for a living?
I don't know. He definitely does not listen. That's for sure. 100%. So I'm.
How can you be sure that?
Oh, no, no, no. I know.
Somebody
you
in
know.
The household doesn't listen.
I'll have to tell you why off the air, but it's.
Why? Tell everybody.
No. I'm not going to quite go there.
That's a DMAC move.
Yeah.
Why do you have to wait to tell me off the air?
Yeah. No. Yeah. He doesn't listen. You know who listens and who doesn't listen.
Okay. I got a good idea. If a guy says he's going to like a Rockies game, I figure, oh, he's a sports fan.
Yeah.
You know, if I hear, you know, I saw my neighbor, Money Mike, today, and he saw that I was wearing my CU hat. He said, is it time to talk about CU football today? And
Mike.
I said,
you know, see, Mike's a good dude.
That's right. I know where his heart is.
Like
his heart is with the University of Colorado.
Hey, man, I know more of your neighbors than I know my neighbors.
Oh, I got the coolest neighborhood in the world.
Yeah, I don't. But I like where I live, and it's been good for many years, and I got 3 more years, maybe 4.
You're counting down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to move?
Can't wait to move.
Oh, my goodness. All these people that listen to the show can't wait to buy a house, and you can't wait to move.
Can't wait to move. It's time to get back to the city, bud.
You're done with the suburbs.
I'm so done with the suburbs. It's one of two things. It's time to get to the city or get to the mountains. It may be a combination of both. But
man,
the suburbs.
You got big plans.
Doesn't everybody?
I don't know. I kind of like my neighborhood.
Yeah, well,
I kind of like
you're building the Williams estate. So
no,
you know you're making
no,
you're in a different
no,
world.
No, I like my neighborhood.
you eliminated a lot of drama with where you chose to live. So.
I would think that you would too, since you only have.
I mean, like, why would anybody drive to your house? For what reason? They got lost.
They got
to turn around.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of that. Not a lot of that, but you get a little bit of that.
I get a little bit of that.
Yeah. But that's in and out, baby.
But I know when there's a strange car on the street.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in turn two. So it's a racetrack. I think I have some nicer neighbors that have young kids. And, you know, I can't wait to sell my home to somebody who has young kids and wants to live that life.
And, you know, and the older you get, when you start talking about those things, then you start to see how neighborhoods turn over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have grandparents in a neighborhood, like, that have owned a home since they were original homeowners, and they have grandkids, yeah, and you're looking to have kids, that's probably the neighborhood that you want to move into.
Hey, man, I'm just looking at you. What are you doing with your glasses? Are those new, or are they...
No, they're just...
You got, because you were having those cheaters on yesterday, now you got the full specs on today.
Well, these are cheaters, too.
Those are big cheaters.
I know they are.
Oh, okay. How many cheaters do you got?
Oh, my goodness.
Whose white glasses are those right there?
Oh, these are mine.
You got those, too?
These are my shades.
Those aren't prescription.
No, these are just...
This is just to look like you're ready for the...
My trip. So those were the glasses we were wearing, so felt compelled to wear them
ridiculous.
Again.
Was this for the white party? Oh, my God. You are so sad.
And then I have these just in case, you know.
Just while
these
cool.
are the glasses Armin gave us.
Yeah, those are sweet. I wear mine that I got from Under Armour all the time.
Oh, my goodness, man. These things are sweet.
Yeah,
so my eyeglass game is on right now.
Well, here we are. You got a bunch of interesting things going on. But by the way, I was just talking to Big Sexy about this minutes before the show. And, you know, we're always kind of looking for ways to make things a little bit better. Like you said, you didn't want robots to take over the world, so you are against the strike zone technology.
I don't want
lasers.
Any new technology in sports.
Okay. And I thought, I laughed at that because I think that's a little large of a leap, but okay. You know, so there's this tournament right now that's, what is it, winner take all, $1 million, something like that?
TBT.
It's $2 million.
$2 million.
$2 million.
Have you never seen the game?
No, I have.
There?
I have.
Did you see Jimmer Fredette's team?
I did not.
Oh, off the chain!
So
my boy Jimmer is getting it in.
Wasn't Earl in this tournament at some point, or did he not have a team?
I don't know if it was this one. I think he was in. I think it was another one. But
it's just a big national open tournament, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, like CU had a team that was in the Final Four. I think 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, I love it, man. I mean, you know, during the summertime and you love basketball, you just sit there and you see. CU was in the finals last year. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
So wait, anyway. If there's prize money, how are college kids allowed to
participate? Oh, no, these are all the guys that played for CU.
Oh, okay, gotcha. David Harrison on the team or something like that?
I don't think he was, but 2016 CU had a group in the finals.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like
Chauncey could play on the team.
Yeah, sure.
If he wanted to.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it the CU basketball team and invite guys who played on other teams.
I understand. Yeah. It's just a name.
It's just a name.
Right.
I think Ohio State has a team in it this year.
So the endings of the game are a new format, and Big Sexy was running me through it, called the Elam format, which is not after Jason Elam. It's some other dude, just a dude, who was sick of basketball games and all the fouling. So the Elam ending goes like this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but at the four-minute mark, so it's a regular basketball game, everything you can imagine, just a regular basketball game. At the four-minute mark of the fourth quarter, or second half, I don't know if they play halves or quarters, but at the four-minute mark before the end of the game, you stop. And then you sort of say, okay, so if the score is a 90-85,
mm-hmm.
The leading team has to score 7 points, and the trailing team has to score the equivalent of those 7 points. So if it's 90-85, the losing team has to score 97 points. And then the game's over, or the winning team has to score 7 points, which would be 97. But there's nothing special about 90. The game could be 72-65. The first one to 79 wins at that point. And I thought, this is like the most...
You did a terrible job explaining that.
You don't understand
it? Really quick, here we go.
How did I mess that up? I thought I did pretty good there.
You did a terrible job explaining that because you got me confused.
All right.
At the first under 4 minute stoppage, so whether it's a foul, referee stoppage, anything like that, the game clock is then taken off the scoreboard.
Oh.
Then they will...
What do you mean the game clock? Just
the game clock. If there's 3 minutes and 50 seconds left, they'll take it off the clock.
It's done.
It's done. The clock is off.
Clock is off.
The clock is off.
Now, that's great explanation. Okay, go ahead.
The first team to then reach the target score wins, and the target score is set by simply adding 7 points to the score of the leading team at that point
when
the clock stoppage happens.
That's stupid. So you play all the way, you play all the game until under 4 minutes, and just say a team is losing 50-70.
Yeah.
Then you say... The first team to seven wins.
No.
First team to 77 wins.
70. Right. Oh, to the highest number.
Right. So it's the leading team's score.
The leading team score.
Plus 7 points. So if the leading team at that point has 70 points and the team behind them has 69 points, the target score to win the game is 77 points, meaning the leading team has to score 7 points or the team behind has to score 8 points to win the game.
No. The leading team would have scored 27 points.
Wait a minute.
70-69. Let's say our score is 100-110.
Okay.
Now, so explain the rule. So you got to go to 117.
The clock stops under 4 minutes.
Okay.
So they take the game clock off of the scoreboard.
Okay.
They tack 7 points on to the leading team's score. So at that point, it was 110. Plus 7 equals 117.
Uh-huh.
The total score to win the game is set at 117 points. So the first team at
time
that
clock
point,
it doesn't matter.
Time clock doesn't matter.
Right.
At that point, it's the first team to 117 points.
That's stupid.
It's great.
I don't like that.
And I would
you like that
kick,
big section?
I would kick it up one more notch and say if you foul somebody, you can put anybody you want at the free throw line.
I like that. No matter what.
In fact, that's
under 2 minutes. Under 2 minutes.
Okay.
If you start fouling folks.
You can put anybody you want. Kind of like a penalty shot in soccer. If somebody gets fouled, you can have anybody shoot the penalty shot. It doesn't have to be the person that got fouled.
I like that.
Well, one of my main arguments that I had earlier this year when I was watching a Nuggets game, I think it took 14 actual minutes.
Mm-hmm.
To finish 1 minute of basketball.
Oh, yeah.
This would eliminate
one team time just fouling,
right.
Walk down to the other side of the court, shoot free throws, then the other team inbounds the ball and tries to huck up three-pointers.
See, I would think that this really helps a team that has a terrible free throw shooter, okay, because under 4 minutes,
yes,
once the time is stopped, you just automatically foul the worst free throw shooter they have on the team. Send him to the line, knowing that he's not going to make two.
But that's what's been going on for years.
I know, but I mean, you just...
Right, so they have to amend it a little bit by maybe saying you can put anybody you want at the line.
I like that.
But, you know, it's a good idea.
Now, this is the old middle school principal.
Oh, is it? Oh, who, the Elam guy?
Nick Elam.
Smart dude. I love it when people sort of outside of non-conventional thinking. It would make the sport better on all levels. And the worst is when really you're down by five or six, right? That's when it gets to be the foul palooza. And it's just not basketball anymore. Although for years, everybody's just told me, well, that is basketball. I don't think so. It's a really, really good idea.
Apparently the fans love it, though. It's a hit.
Yeah, because it's exciting. This is why, again, there should be no kickoffs in the NFL. The Schiano rule would be the best. You score points. It's your ball. 4th and 15 at your own 25-yard line. You'd have no kickoffs anymore.
So wait a minute. You score a touchdown. Say that again.
You score a touchdown.
Okay.
You get the ball. It's 4th and 15 at your own 25-yard line. What are you going to do?
Oh, you're going to punt.
Most of the time, yes.
Oh, or you say 4th and 15 at your 25.
Yep.
You're down by 9 points.
Yeah.
And it's only 3 minutes to go.
Yeah.
You're going for it.
You're
going
to go for it.
I love that.
I know.
I love that one, D-Mac. You just came up with that one?
Well, I didn't come up with it. Greg Schiano did. But if you want to see a great video, go on YouTube and look up.
I do love that.
Look up why the kickoff is the worst play in football. It's about a 6-minute video, and it's done with analytics and graphics that'll change your way about kickoffs. Why kickoffs is the worst play in football. And they bring up the Schiano rule, which is very simple. And the Schiano rule came to be because Greg Schiano, when he was a coach at Temple?
Rutgers.
And that kid got hurt. I'm sorry, his name's escaping.
Eric LeGrand.
Eric LeGrand got hurt.
Facts straight.
And, hey, and look at all the crazy things that they're trying to do to change kickoffs right now. Yeah, it would get rid of the onside kick. Big deal. And what it shows is, even on touchbacks, kickoffs are really dangerous because guys don't know if it's going to be a touchback or not. Like, the blockers don't know. Their backs to it. This would eliminate all of it. It would add another offensive play to the mix. It would be great. And punt returns, there's a much better likelihood that punt returns are taken back for a touchdown than kickoffs. And if you're kicking from your own 25-yard line, more or less the ball is going to land at the other 25-yard line. And more or less it's going to be either a return for 7 or 9 yards, which would make it more exciting. Now plays are starting at the 35 instead of the 25. So just top to bottom, it's a great idea.
But you can see Australian rules kickers coming into, you know, the NFL. I mean, guys who can really boom it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's like already happening now. Well, I mean,
but you can see more of the emphasis on the punter. The punter goes from being, you know, not part of the team to being a real part of the team.
But because that's already happened.
Not
though.
Really.
Oh, sure it has.
No, because really the average, you know, if you look up NFL average punt,
it's
you're
unbelievable.
Not seeing, no,
what, no,
what do you mean?
It's incredible. NFL quality punters are almost all in the same boat. That's why Marquette King and Riley Dixon, you know, it's not that big of a deal, but King is a little bit better. But the average length of a punt,
the king is here.
Type of a punt hang time is very similar in the NFL. Now, it's much different in the NFL and college, and much different than college and high school. That's why those rules shouldn't apply to high school and college.
I know, but it changes the game, D-Mac. The most punts last year in the NFL was led by the New York Giants, who punted the ball 95 times.
Well, that's not a very good team, is it?
The team with the least amount of punts were the Atlanta Falcons, who had 53. So if you are a bad team, or you have a team like the Broncos who's really dependent on their defense to hold them up,
mm-hmm.
you need that punter to really change field position.
Yeah, but Al, look at the punters. Look at average punt, like net and gross.
The average punt,
it's not that big of a difference.
The highest net punter last year for the Tennessee Titans, 49.7.
Okay.
The lowest net was 42.2 by the Vikings.
So it's only a 6-yard difference.
But maybe because,
from top to bottom,
hold on,
ex-Bronco Brett Kearns.
But I'm saying the reason that it may be 49 and 42 is because those kickers who, like, say that you're the Minnesota Vikings, who had a great offense last year, they're just trying to pin you.
Yeah, yes, so it's not that big of a difference.
The punt doesn't need to go 49 yards. It needs to go, like, 37. So that means the average is going to be lower. Anyway, right. it's just things to think about.
The punters are better and more athletic. And, you know, punters used to be jokes, not anymore. They're real athletes. And the kickers are getting closer and closer to that, too. Look at our kickers. You got Brandon McManus. That dude is a real athlete. And Marquette King, he's a real athlete. Here. The King is here. But kickoffs are ridiculous. They should be gone. I love this concept for basketball. I love overtime in hockey now. They've made that better.
I do.
It's way better.
Now they just need to add the home run contest to baseball.
Oh, Lord. The Big Three is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. My Special Mortgage. Mortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Alfred, the Rockies start a homestand for a couple days with the Houston Astros. Oh, how about that? World champs are in town.
Your guy, Jose Altuve.
Altuve will be here. George Springer will be here. They'll all be here.
Altuve is going to be here. What are you going to do? Are you going to go watch
him? We have a meeting tonight, unfortunately.
I know, but tomorrow.
Oh, I'd love to go watch him.
Altuve.
You know, isn't it amazing how the Astros have this crazy mystique and interest in them now? And you just think a couple years ago, nobody was curious about the Astros.
Well, of course, that's not true. The St. Louis Cardinals were excited about the Houston process. Remember, they sent the guy to prison for spying on their scouting process.
My question is, could you see a scenario where the Rockies become the Astros?
Win a World Series?
Win a World Series and become...
Yes.
Kind of rock stars.
Yes, yes, because we have a rock star player that is everybody's all-star. Third base, and how do we, let's see, without our, yes, I think so. I think so. I think because we are sneaky good with our pitching staff, they're not out, they haven't always been on, but they're sneaky good, if you know what I mean. We have good pitchers who are starting to turn it around and produce on a nightly basis. Everything seems to be going in the right direction, so can I see us coming out of nowhere and winning 100 games? That's what you. That's the big question.
I'd like to say I could see
it. I'm just saying, no, I can't see that.
But it's
not
amazing.
In our division.
It's amazing when I think about how low the Astros were until where they are now.
I mean,
it's cool.
Winning 100 games in a baseball season, now that's a big deal.
I never thought I'd see the day where, like, going to see the Astros would be cool, but it would be tonight.
Three! Congratulations, Kevin Love, who is a recipient of a brand new $100 million extension. It says that the Cavs are not interested in tanking and rebuilding going forward, that they want to stay in it and be in it at the end of the year. When you hear things like that, does it make you excited about the Eastern Conference playoff opportunity going forward for, say, the Cleveland Cavaliers?
The likelihood of me watching any Eastern Conference basketball is zero to none, with none catching it. What is interesting about the Eastern Conference now that LeBron's gone? And, I mean, Kyrie? Kevin Love? I mean, maybe, but not much. All the thrills and spills
are
in the West.
Is there anybody to watch in the East?
Maybe the Celtics.
I mean,
Philadelphia is kind of interesting, I suppose.
I guess the 76ers and the Celtics.
Tell me who
would
else.
Would you say the Wizards? Are
no. Would you?
Toronto certainly is the team that
everybody...
Yeah,
but it's Toronto, dude. I mean, like, when are we really going to sit down and watch Toronto?
Right.
I'm in the minority here, but I'm a closet Bucks fan.
I like the Bucks too.
I was going to say the Bucks, but nobody's really, you know.
No one's watching them.
No.
They're a fun young team.
I mean, if the Bucks are playing the Lakers, I'll watch. You know, something like, if that's a national game. But I would never watch just like, what, the Bucks against the, what, Nets? Pass. Bongos.
Three!
Alfred?
Yes?
Sam Darnold has not signed his deal. So he's a little bit of a holdout at this point. What do you think is going on with Sam Darnold and the Jets not getting the deal done?
You know, just 2 days ago, there were 8 first rounders in the top 10 that were not, who were unsigned because they were waiting for slotting positions. And I think it's going to be that way in the NFL until the deals start to come in. I mean, it's a
Barkley's
phenomenon.
So Barkley's done. So
right.
What?
So
Darnold,
I think there's
goes next.
Seven. I think they're, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're trying to see what the guy in front of you got, and the guy behind him wants just less than that. You know, I know it's happening in a lot of cities where top 10 guys aren't signed. So I don't know. It's weird because you would think that there's a slotting system, but yeah, there is. But it goes after one, and then after two, after three, and basically it's the top 10 guys.
Bongos.
Three.
One more basketball story. Carmelo Anthony is now part of the Houston Rockets.
Yes.
Were you a little concerned that Carmelo Anthony didn't want to come back to the Denver Nuggets?
No, I mean, everybody talked me off that ledge. I would have loved to have seen it, but no such luck.
You know, I saw a workout with Carmelo Anthony just today where he was working out, and he just looks amazing. I mean, and you see the talent that he has, and he's possessed for his entire NBA career. 10-time NBA All-Star. D-Mac, I failed to realize that this guy is a walking Hall of Famer. Do you agree with me
of
that
course.
He's a walking Hall of Famer?
Yes, he's a definite Hall of Famer. He's the greatest player in Nuggets history.
Yes,
and he's an Olympic hero. He's just not a world champion in terms of teams he's been on. Bongo.
He's not a great not a great NBA guy.
As far as
winning championships,
should Dwayne Wade accept a 3-year, $25 million contract to go play for the Zhejiang Golden Bulls of the Chinese Basketball Association?
I thought it was $25 million per year.
I got 3-year, $25 million deal. Is it? Am I getting that wrong? Is it 25 per?
I think it's $25 million per.
Hold on.
So 3 for 25.
3 for 25.
3 for 25.
Not 3 for 75.
No, should not.
Why not?
It's not. Does he have his own shoe there in China? If he has
a
shoe deal,
I'm sure he does.
If he has a shoe deal, I would say okay, do it.
Of course, he has a shoe deal.
But I'm saying in China.
Well, I'm sure he does.
If he does, then
sure
I say that it makes sense.
China.
If there's also an endorsement that is sitting behind that, his, you know, Dwayne Wade's still a good basketball player. So
will he get an offer like that in the NBA?
The Nuggets gave him a better offer than that just last summer, D-Mac.
Well, I mean, what about today?
Do I think that he can get a contract at $8 million per? Yes.
So you would not go?
I wouldn't go unless I had a great tennis shoe deal that was set up and I was going to really, you know, be incentivized to go. Other than that,
I wouldn't go either, by the
really
way.
Quick, so you are onto something. Dwayne Wade just signed a lifetime deal with a Chinese shoe brand at Li Ning last week.
Mm.
He's also been touring the country.
A lot of money to be made there.
Yeah,
not a bad way to go. Hey, man, not a bad way to go out in retirement. I mean, just you're going to cash in. It's kind of weird, though.
And he just signed a deal when?
Last week.
Those shoes, by the way, sell for as much as $375 for one pair of basketball sneakers.
Isn't he married to or dating somebody pretty famous, too?
Gabrielle Union.
Is she an actress or a singer?
Yes.
Actress?
Huh.
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
you got millions of dollars. You can fly anywhere.
Li Ning Way of Wade 6 team, $425. Are you kidding me?
So he may make $25 million in salary, but he'll make more than $100 million maybe in shoes.
No, I got to find out the salary for that deal because
right,
I thought I read somewhere that it was $25 million a year.
When we come back, Al, I understand you got some problems.
I always
you got
issues.
Some, you got issues. You got issues. Find out with who next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, who you got problems with, Al? You got beefs with people? And surgery?
Beef with all stuff? Well, What I really had an issue with is how late these surgeries are happening for some big contributors for this team. And I'm trying to really figure out what's going on. I mean, it's the end of your offseason, and a surgery is about to happen. Now, if I was a guy who really hated training camp and I really didn't want to do any of that stuff, I would wait till the end of the summer, which is now, and have a procedure scheduled, because that would ensure that I would go through training camp without having to, you know, mix it up. When guys get surgeries late, Shane Ray was going for his surgery, I think it was
June 14th.
Right, June 14th.
It's not that late.
Oh, that's late. That is late.
It's just a couple weeks after after minicamp.
That's right. I mean, that's late, though.
I mean maybe not even a couple weeks. It's right there.
We just got the news, 2 days ago or yesterday that he won't need surgery. So,
yeah.
This is to me a big deal, because if you knew you had an issue, like a Ron Leary, okay, you knew you had an issue, you take care of that a week or at the most 2 weeks at the end of the season. That is, you know, irresponsible on your part to not want to go ahead and get that taken care of. Any surgeries that happen this close to training camp have to be a surprise, or the training staff had to have made a mistake. And I don't believe that the training staff makes mistakes when it comes to these kind of issues this deep into the season, unless a guy gets injured during this time period. So, yeah, I do have a beef, D-Mac, and it's only because I know exactly how this game is played. And I know that, you know, when you have a procedure this late in the year, it's to, you know, possibly slow down any attempts to get out there on the field quickly.
Wow. You calling out Ron Leary?
I am. I don't like it. I don't like it. I think the guy is a hell of a player, and I told you that last year that he was a great, you know, offensive lineman.
You think he's doing it just to...
I don't know why he's doing it, but it just doesn't feel right, because he's going to be out. So it just doesn't feel right to me. It feels like something, unless something just happened, then, you know, this doesn't feel right to me.
Hmm.
You know, it doesn't feel right that Shane Ray, that we just learned just yesterday that Shane Ray doesn't need surgery. When was the first time that you heard that that was the case?
Yesterday,
right?
Yeah.
But he was scheduled to have the surgery.
Mid-June, yeah.
Right now, right?
Well, no, he was supposed to have it in mid-June.
Why?
I don't know. That's just what he was supposed to happen.
We were told about Shane Ray's wrist before the NFL draft.
I couldn't tell you.
I need you to think this through with me, because...
Well, what's nefarious? What's wrong?
Before the start of the NFL draft that he had issues with his wrist, you would think that you want to get that done sooner than later. And when it's announced that he doesn't need surgery, he just needed time to heal, then you go, well, why did you say that he needed surgery? I just don't like hearing these things this deep or this close to training camp.
Because you think they're trying to get out of something.
No, I just think that those are mistakes. Those are clear mistakes. Or somebody did something late that caused them to need more surgery.
Okay.
I'd like the team to be ready to go at the start of training camp. If they're not ready to go because of a lingering issue that happened during the football season the previous year, say that a guy had surgery.
Well, why would it help Ron Leary to wait? Why would it help any player to wait?
It doesn't. So if you have a lingering issue, take care of it early. Now, I'll tell you why guys don't want to take care of it early.
Okay.
Because as soon as you have a corrective surgery, you are required to be at the facility for rehab.
You think that's what it is?
Oh, I can guarantee you that
I want to have my summer vacation. I don't want to.
I want to have a spring vacation. I want to have a spring vacation. I want to have a summer vacation. I want to have the off season to, you know, to be me, to do what I want to do.
If I need a 6 week surgery, well, I can.
No. If you need surgery and you need a 6 week rehab,
that's what I meant. So I can time it out and miss training camp and be fine.
Right. They
I get to go on summer vacation.
Yeah, I get to have my entire off season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get to have my entire summer and call it 7 weeks before the start of the regular season, schedule out that surgery, have it try to get done, and then go in there and get it done. Makes sense to you, right?
I don't know, man.
Man, trust me, I've been through this, guys who have played ball understand exactly this concept. So I don't. Every time I hear about guys having surgery this close to training camp, I think that, you know, good plan. If I was doing it all over again, I would try to do it that way, because nobody wants to do rehab in their off time.
I do raise my eyebrows about teachers that have, like, babies in March. Because, you know, you have that baby in early March. And
things happen, though.
April and May, and then, oh, hey, summertime's here. And I don't know. I seem to be going to a lot of, like, fall parent-teacher conferences with pregnant middle school teachers. It all seemed to be like, oh, you're pregnant. Oh, you are too, huh? Oh, you all are pregnant. That's wonderful.
You say in the fall, so that in the... Well, if they're pregnant in the fall, that means they're going to have the baby in the summer.
That means they're aiming for like February, March, because then you can roll that right into summer vacation.
You think that's a plan?
No.
Well, I know, but as a former player, I needed surgery, you know, like when I had, you know.
Have you put off a surgery to go on vacation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. What was that circumstance?
Well, I mean, I needed a shoulder done, and the team wanted to do the surgery that, you know, like the week after the last game.
And you wanted to
Aruba. No, I wanted to get 3 or 4 weeks of vacation before I have to go and do rehab.
Okay. So did you do the right thing?
Did I do? I mean, I was in Cincinnati, so the season was over in December. Now, follow me here, okay? If the season is over in December,
yeah,
for me having a surgery in February, that's not irresponsible.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But if I would have had that same surgery in...
I mean, I guess you could have really milked it, right?
Right. If you have that same surgery in the middle of June...
Yeah, now you're out for training camp.
That's right.
So you cared a little bit about the
Bengals. No, I mean, I knew what I was doing after my rookie year. And, you know, it's just... That's the way the NFL... You know, like a guy like Stink, I can guarantee you, he can explain to you the timing of when to have surgery and when not. Because he had so many surgeries. But the thing about surgery, it triggers that you have to go into the team's rehab facility as soon as it's completed.
Right.
Now, the team doesn't necessarily have to, you know, the team doctors don't have to do the surgery, but as soon as the surgery is completed, the rehab goes through the team.
Well, the offensive line issues are going to be interesting. We'll see Larry Valdir's just coming off an injury.
With all of that being said, yeah. I don't think that you need much time for guys who know how to play.
Okay.
You know, Ron Leary knows how to play. Valdir knows how to play.
They brought in Evan Mathis in the middle, late of training camp. He
started
every game. He didn't practice at all the entire year because of injury, and they won the Super Bowl. If you got the right guy and it makes the right sense,
right? Veterans in this league don't need a lot of time. And if you have drafted the right guy and you have acquired the right guy through free agency, then plug and play should be okay. But it's just, you know, it's just something that, you know, like an insider like me, I see it and I go, very curious why that happened so late.
Football at 4. What are the big storylines going into training camp? Only 4 days away. We'll get there next.